You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
We're live?
Yeah, we're live, bro.
Hey, we're live, pal.
Welcome, everyone, to a Wednesday edition of the A-Side. Few things of note before we kick off. It has been 1 year since I took over this show. I'm sure everyone remembers the awful audio debacles I've gone through. And I'm glad we're here, but I'm sorry we're like 5 minutes late. But we made it nonetheless, and of course, on a little more somber note, this is Pete Sicaro's last day as co-host of the A-Side. I'm sure he has a lot to say. I'm sure he'll have a nice send-off. But for now, Pete, what's the crack?
Did I say that right? Not much, man. Just, yeah, perfect. It's just very warm here in Ireland, so I'm not really used to this. And my hair has got so bad now that I've had to wear a hat to cover it up because it's so disgraceful. So I'm kind of putting myself in a lot of pain for you people. I hope you know that. I'm out here shedding blood for the A-Side once again.
Blood? What is warm, by the way? When you say it's warm in Dublin, what is warm?
It's probably like, you see, we have the whole Celsius Fahrenheit divide here as well. So this is going to be tough.
Okay.
It's like 20 degrees. So
it's
that's
what?
Like a million in your... 20
is,
degrees.
In your language, it is 34 degrees Celsius where I am.
That's look at this skin. Do you think I'm built for this? Look at this.
Yeah, you would die. You and Oscar Willis would die.
I think Oscar Willis would like get a way better tan than me, and that's worrying. You know what I mean? Like, that is worrying. I've got the worst. I might be the pastiest media member of all time.
So you say British people tan better?
Tan better than me. State of me.
Anyway, I'm sure Nye would just evaporate into the ether. But anyway, of course, this is not our show. This is your all's show. I'm sure you have a million questions for Pete. Probably none for me. Maybe Casey will chime in too. And we also, of course, it is fight week. We didn't have an episode last week because the technical gods hate us. For now, Casey, do we have any questions from our love?
Yes, sir. Let's go to them right now.
Woo! I'll open up my notepad.
From Cam Kelly Gang on Twitter, hashtag the A-Side, Mike Perry seems to have trouble finding people to corner him. If you could pick anyone to corner him, who would it be? I'd go with the Diaz brothers. Well, first of all, I'm the last person in the world to give Mike Perry advice. I'd give him some hair advice, I'm the last person that Mike Perry wants to hear from. So Pete, Mike Perry needs coaches. Who should be in his corner?
Darren Till, just for sheer enjoyment of the people. Like he'd try and fight his corner halfway through being in a fight. I think it would be amazing. And they won't be able to understand each other. It'd be fantastic.
Well, let's set the scene. Mike Perry recently posted, what was it, Twitter, Instagram, one of his social medias, that he was no longer having coaches in his corner and said it would be just his girlfriend because he's tired of coaches telling him what to do when they're not getting in there. He's too many cooks in the kitchen, I believe is the phrase. He basically basically just wants to go out there and do his thing. Whether that works out for him or not is another story, but he's coming off his loss to Jeff Neal, I think was his last fight. Was that that was January. That was the Colby Covington Kamaru Usman fight when Jeff Neal just tore through him, broke his face. Diaz brothers would be good. I like the Darren Till. I like a duo of Darren Till and Robert Whittaker cornering him, because then they would be talking trash at like really goofy trash at each other while screaming at Mike Perry, and none of them would be able to understand each other because they all have different accents.
They come into the cage during the rounds and they're all just beating the shit out of each other while one of them sits on the stool. Be magic. I love that.
What's worse, Mike Perry's face tattoo or Darren Till's shoulder tattoo?
Ooh, they're both rough as a dog's arse. So
they both
rule.
What did you say?
They rule. What are you talking about?
Well, every
tattoo that's ever existed has been awesome.
Well, let's set the scene for Casey. Casey's the one that misses the tap out and Ed Hardy era of the UFC and regrets never getting or wearing one. So his opinions on what is cool looking go out the window. Next question, Casey.
This show sucks.
I really wanted one of those Ed Hardy t-shirts. I'm so glad they weren't available in Ireland.
What an unfortunate sentence.
Oh, man. Yeah. Look, I mean, I admit it. I know I'm wrong now, but I did want one at the time.
From Susanna Fights. My screen got really blurry for a second, so bear with me. With UFC Dublin canceled or postponed or whatever, which European city will be the next to host a UFC event? And will it be before 2021? Hashtag the A sign. Hashtag everything is hypothetical. Pizzi, ask you. If it's not UFC Dublin, where's the UFC going first in Europe?
Oh, the UFC. Well, the UFC event. Ooh. I know they were talking about Amsterdam for a while. That would have been really cool. They were also talking about like Glasgow that's what I heard. And then obviously Dublin. The first European city to host an event. I mean, the safe bet is London, right? be before 2021. I really doubt that. I don't know why. I just feel like the UFC is setting up on Fight Island or in Vegas once the Nevada State Athletic Commission opened them doors. I don't see why else they go anywhere else. And if they have Fight Island there for international fighters, I don't see why they'd be rushing back to Europe. And you know, who knows when like different parts of Europe are going to be open again. The UK has been hit pretty hard. So it doesn't seem likely. It's very hard to fathom it when it could happen. And all the talk has shifted to Fight Island. So I don't know if it'd be before 2021, to be honest. And that's really sad when you think about it. But I know Cage, KSW are putting on an event in Warsaw in a studio in July. I know Octagon, the Czech Republic, are putting on an event, are about to put on an event maybe this weekend or the next weekend. And there has been some other stuff I've been watching in Eastern Europe. And so, I mean, there's a lot of events going on, but the UFC, I think that's a long shot, to be honest. Very sad.
Who do you think holds the first event in Europe, UFC or Bellator?
What I'm hearing is all the European fighters in Bellator are currently trying to get visas, but they seem to be a lot more confident about the situation than the UFC fighters were when people thought Jacksonville was going to be the base or the Vegas was going to be the base. The UFC fighters I was speaking, they didn't seem confident they could make that happen at all. But the Bellator fighters are confident that they will be able to get visas. There's talk of July US events, UK and Irish fighters going across for that. I've also heard some fighters talking about September. So I don't know who's forced to put on an event. Probably the UFC, I guess. I don't know why, but you'd have to go with those lads, wouldn't you?
Well, the UFC hit Dublin in 2021 then.
I hope so. I really don't know. I hope so.
I hope so too, because then I can go and hang out finally.
Yes, and we can go and get you that tattoo.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. There's a tattoo artist in Ireland that I really have to get put on my body.
There goes your discount. And it was and it's gone.
Look who we have on the show. Look who we have. We have a special guest.
Oh, hey, Esther Lynn.
Oh, hello, Esther Lynn.
She wasn't able to be on last week because the technical gods hate us, specifically me. So, Esther, what's the crack, as PT would say?
I'm just here to, I don't know, be emotional support.
Thank you, Esther. I need it as well. I'll tell you that much. I was really looking forward to your debut. So this makes it even more special that you're making your debut on my farewell show for MMA Fighting.
Can we get Reggie on? Can we get Reggie to make his debut on your last day?
I'll text Elaine and see if he'll come on. Hang on.
Yeah.
Yay, Reggie.
All right.
He's kind of working as Elaine's assistant since everyone's working at home at the moment. So he just kind of, you know, she isn't even paying him, to tell you the truth. She's a real, I mean, employment issues there big time. I mean, Reggie didn't get anything. He's getting paid in treats. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues with unemployment in Ireland right now, right?
Yeah, and taking advantage of
way to add to PCGs.
Hopefully I can get a job over Zoom.
Jose just rubbing it in. A lot of unemployment there in Dublin, huh? Jeez. Plus one.
Casey, what are you drinking? Is that gluey? What are you drinking?
Coffee Soylent.
Ew.
Might ask Elaine to bring me up a can as well.
Casey, what is our next question?
Questions. Let's go to a video question. Question right now. Hold on one moment to get it queued up.
I mean, it is evening in Ireland. So
it is.
And it's morning for Jose and I, but well past 5 p.m. over there.
That's true. I've seen like, you know, Luke Thomas and Mark Raimondi having a shot at proper 12 back in the day. Like, surely, like, I mean, it's not frowned upon, basically, is what I've heard.
Somebody gifted me a bottle of proper 12 for Christmas and has yet to be opened. So
someone gifted it to me before UFC 229.
Good afternoon, Jose and Peter. Just wanted to send a message to Miguel Flower, Petey Carroll, on his last day at the A-side. I figured I'd extend an olive branch from Dublin's beautiful south side. Look at this sunny south side to the slums of Blanchardstown. And I would just want to know from Petey, what has been your favorite aspect or event or article or whatever you choose from your time in MMA fighting? And most importantly, where can the fans follow you, follow your work, and continue to support you as you move forward with your career? Love yous all. Peace.
Thanks, Andy. That was lovely. That was beautiful.
Beautiful jersey from Andy. I knew I liked him, but knowing he's a Celtics fan, just... Another level.
His girl is actually from Boston as well.
Oh, yeah.
And they're living on the south side there. So my favorite moments, I think, was all the events we all did together. They were definitely my favorite because I was so nervous. I can't even tell you. I couldn't sleep before the first event we did with Esther and Casey. And I was so nervous I was going to mess it up because I'd actually never been the on-camera person, really. I'd always been pointing cameras at people and no one could see me. So... you can ask Elaine, I didn't sleep for a couple of days before I went over and everything, totally spooked. And then it was brilliant. And, you know, we did Abu Dhabi first. It was great. Then we did Melbourne. It was great. And then we did, of course, with Jose in Vegas. And it was brilliant. It was great crack. I loved it. They were all my favorite memories that spring to mind straight away. And, getting the Eurobash started was brilliant. You know, Jesus, that was great. And MMA Fighting gave us the platform for that because nobody had ever done that. None of the big sites had ever given a dedicated space for European MMA like that. And I think it worked out really well. And I think a lot of the European MMA fans were brought closer to the different promotions around here. So really proud of that, like putting a kind of a bigger spotlight on KSW and Cage Warriors and promotions like that. So yeah, I think I answered that there. And you can follow me on Twitter. It's just my name, Petey Carroll. Look, it's even on the screen.
Bang. Yeah, that January card, we got so much work done on that McGregor card. We got Arsene
still at the Artem interview.
I know. Nobody ever it's saw. Like, talk like, shout out. What's his name? The one with that wears the bandana?
Dawes Brank.
Yeah, knocking out my mic adapter right before the interview. It was by accident.
We came back to Esther and Casey. Oh, where did you see this interview we got? And we press play. Shit.
It was by accident, to his credit. There was way too many fans, and they were all basically climbing on top of me while we tried to interview Artem, and he accidentally knocked out our microphone adapter. So we have Artem and a bunch of fans screaming, but it's like no audio.
Look at Phil there. Phil probably was getting panicked phone calls before I got on the flight to Abu Dhabi. Me going, oh, they're going to find out. I don't know what I'm doing. And then as soon as Casey started giving me like a few digs in the back of the head when he wanted me to finish interviews, it becomes, you know, becomes commonplace.
Have you ever been kneed in the thigh by Casey?
Oh, full on leg kicks and everything from behind.
It's fight week when we go out to eat lunch or something, and Casey's like, oh, what do they have? And they just knees you in the thigh for no reason. Anyway.
We got a question for Esther.
Hi, Esther. I believe they spelled your name wrong. Do you think that PT is the most flexible man on the planet?
Yes, I do. Actually, I have been present for many of those encounters.
Yes, the fabled incident at UFC 246 Fight Week where PT Carroll decided to show me his flexibility in the middle of media day. Esther and Casey had front row seats to that. Yes. So. I think there's going to be a lot of media that know that exists because they were all there.
I can't wait till you start requesting me to do it. Do you know that thing about Casey and the hitting thing? One of the scariest things that's ever happened was actually in Abu Dhabi when he was like messing after we interviewed Jojo Calderwood, and he gave me like tipped me like on the leg, and Jojo was like, oh, I'll give you a proper one. I was like, no, it's all fun and games here, relax.
Yeah, don't want to mess around Casey. I remember we were watching, I think I went to LA for, I think it was, what was it, Bola, PWG, and then it was me, you, and our former coworker Sean Alshadi were watching the UFC Mexico City card, and then you were like, hey, let's roll, and then Casey just got full mount in about 30 seconds. I was like, oh, fuck all that noise. I was like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go sit in the living room again.
Hey, yeah, anyway. I remember I was telling Shane, he's like, Shane, you're using too much strength. You're not gonna see. That's not. You can't.
Yeah, he got tired immediately.
You can't curl your way out of this one.
He's so strong, man. I didn't know he was so ripped as well. That was a real revelation to me when we got to Abu Dhabi. I was like, holy shit.
Oh yeah, he's kind of like you know, like in The Simpsons when like Ned Flanders takes his shirt off, he's got like a six pack and everything. That was like Shaheen. Like, goddamn, Shaheen.
You guys are saying all this now. You should go find pictures of him in college, man.
Really?
Imagine Sean with 100 more pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
Of just dense muscle. That's him in college. Anyway.
What a dork.
Was he like super buff?
He was just like really into like powerlifting and stuff.
Oh.
Like, I think he's really buff now, but he doesn't. Do you know what I mean? And then it makes you feel bad about yourself. And you're like, geez, you look great, Gene. And he's like, not really, man. This is me. I haven't lifted weights in 3 years. And you're like, oh, okay.
Good afternoon, Jose and Peter.
Steven.
Hold on.
What a man.
Let's go to the next question.
From John Mulkin, Johnny Anto on Twitter. Been thinking about a potential Khabib versus Justin G matchup. Justin has hit another level with this new approach, but might Justin be better served going back to his kamikaze style of fighting in a fight with Khabib? Well, interesting question. I would say no, considering this Justin Gaethje that we, what do we call it, calculated Gaethje. I know there's like C-level Kane and motivated BJ and like all of these
technical
phrases.
Gaethje.
Like,
technical Gaethje. Yeah. Technical Gaethje. Yeah.
Technical Gaethje is a terrifying individual.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't fancy his chances against Khabib, to be honest. Like, I think he's brilliant, but I mean, and I know he's a great wrestler and everything, but where all the fun is taking place in those Gaethje fights, fight doesn't usually stay there for that long for Khabib. And, I think Justin's amazing. I think I'd probably favor him over any other fighter at lightweight right now. But yeah,
Justin might just be the second best lightweight in the world.
Mm.
Yeah. Like,
that just might be how it is.
I want to see that fight so bad.
I still want to see it though. So bad. I really want to see this fight.
Because either guy wins, they're gonna have to do something that no one in the history of Earth has ever done before. That means Khabib will have to hold Justin down probably 25 minutes, hold him down, and no one's been able to do that. And vice versa, someone's gonna have to knock out Khabib, you know, because that's how Gaethje would win. So two things might happen that have never happened. So that's why I think that fight's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just looking at, like, Justin hasn't fought in a high-level wrestler yet in the UFC, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I know there's a lot of, like lightweight is very striking heavy, but there are good wrestlers in lightweight, and he hasn't fought anyone. I know there's also no one on Khabib's level, so I can't really say he's fought anyone like Khabib, but who's he fought in? Like, Poirier, Michael Johnson, Eddie Alvarez.
But he's
Vick, Barboza, like he's fought in dudes that are going to stand there and just throw down.
But he's fought in guys that have won matches using their wrestling. Because I believe Dustin beat Max Holloway because actually it wasn't the striking. He was actually able to wrestle Max and hold him against the cage and stall time. And Eddie's used his wrestling to win matches. Not in the fight they fought with Gaethje, but he's used wrestling to win matches. So I think he's fought very good wrestlers.
Both of those.
I'm sorry?
But he lost both of those.
But not from wrestling, just from the striking.
No, yeah.
And Khabib will have to win through wrestling. I mean, if Khabib can outstrike Gaethje, maybe tire him out and do kind of that thing where was like the third round when he fought McGregor and actually kind of won the striking because a tired McGregor is not a much different fighter from 100% McGregor. So
his foot was a balloon, remember?
Oh, yeah. I remember
yeah, come on, Casey.
My bad.
Yeah, give them honest fair dues.
It's a fancy record, but he fought him with a balloon foot. Is that what he said on Twitter?
The thing with Khabib just seems to be like everyone's like, oh, can he take him down? But it's like it doesn't even need to be a takedown after watching when I was watching the Poirier fight up close and personal, it's like it's not like he really needs to take you down. It's like, can he get a hold of you? Can he push you against the cage? Because he's not going to stop on his first shot. He's going to chain everything together. He's going to be working towards your back. As soon as you kind of defend the back or get an underhook back, he's going to be on your legs again. It's just completely relentless. Like, I've never – like, that was the craziest thing. I can remember me, Esther, and Casey speaking about it immediately after waiting for the press conference to start. And we're like, it's hard to even – for the coaches to even advise Dustin what to do in that situation. He's all over him. He is all over him. He doesn't even have time to think about what's going on. These are all second nature chain maneuvers from Khabib to eventually secure the takedown. Like I think his takedowns are so good, it's kind of echoed in McGregor and McGregor fans the way they talk about when they fought. Like, oh, did you see the way he took him his takedown defense for the first minute? But what happened? He went down. He took him down. So what are you saying? He did well to stop him from doing what he inevitably did for 60 seconds? Like, that's how good he is at taking people down. People wear it as a badge of honor that they were able to stop a takedown for a minute. That's how good he is. I think Gaethje is amazing. I love watching him. I've never watched a Gaethje fight that I didn't like. But I just think we are very guilty of recency bias sometimes in this sport, and to think he'll just run through Khabib now is crazy to me. And not that you guys are saying that at all, and I love the fight, but I just can't pick him.
I think run through is I don't think anyone's saying run through him, but
I think that's what you said. I have it down here.
Haven't you taken the MMA Media 101 class, Casey? Yeah. You spin it. That's the headline.
I
favor Khabib heavily, but I think I give Justin a bigger not bigger, but I think Justin has a better chance of beating Khabib than Tony Ferguson.
Yes.
But I was saying that even before the fight fell off, like the Khabib Tony fight I really liked, but in the back of my mind I was like, the fight I really want to see is Khabib Justin, because I think Justin has a better chance of winning.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially because Tony is pretty comfortable fighting off his back, so he would allow Khabib to take him down as opposed to fight to get back up and thinking that he could defend himself there. But
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, it's yeah, I mean, there's so much to think about in all these fights, but another thing about Khabib, right, I was there in MSG when he fought Johnson, and it seems like before the Conor fight they were all like, oh, you know, but he got caught with the left hand of Johnson. And you're like, but what happened 30 seconds after that? He's on the ground. Do you know what I mean? Like, how is this Like, but they made such a big thing about this. He got caught with the left hand and stuff. But have you guys, like, you guys covered Khabib way more than me. Have you ever, like, is that the most he's been hurt, do you feel, when you've been there? Like, you're right beside him, Esther, when he's in these fights. Like, have you ever genuinely been like, oh, no, Khabib's in serious trouble here?
No.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
The most danger he's been in, I think, was that guillotine that Poirier got. And even he himself said it was really tight, but he got out of it. That's the most danger I've ever seen Khabib in. And
I've never really thought, guillotine. That's really one of those situations where I'm like, they'll probably get out of it. It's pretty rare that I'm like, oh my God, this fight is over.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the few times, a handful of times, that we've seen Khabib be 100% defensive. Like only thing he can worry about is getting out of this. I don't think we've ever had to see. And that was – so how many fights he's had in the UFC, 15, 20, I don't know. We've seen maybe 30 seconds of him being – 30 seconds of, oh, shit, Khabib. Like, okay, got to get out of this, got to get out of this. 30 seconds, that's about it. So that's freaking incredible.
Oh, do you guys believe the mythology?
I'm sorry?
Do you guys believe the mythology of, like, he's never lost a round in AKA and stuff like that? Or do you think that's kind of hamming up?
Hamming it up. I think if he's not losing any rounds in training camp, he's probably training with the wrong people or training wrong. You got to have people that are going to push you to the limit. You can't just be winning all the time in camp. Unless you're just God and just can't lose to anyone.
How are you supposed to learn anything if you never lose?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how are you going to, like, hey, win or learn? Win or learn.
That's a great point, Esther. Oh, my God.
All right, that's it for the A side. We're good. See you next week.
All right. Don't get any final say. That's our final segment. And scene. All right.
All right. Let's go to another video question.
Video question.
Hold on one moment. Just a second to queue up.
I still hear you.
Oh, we forgot the music. The waiting for the question music. Yeah. Skibbity boop boop. Bibbidi boop 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 scoop boop scoopity boop 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 bibbidi boop 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 scoopy blah. I've been scatting for a while now.
I've been scatting for pizza. You want
Jeffrey B. Jeffrey B here.
Jeffrey F. Ballo.
Just did my Helwani boxing, listened to the last episode of Eurobath and MMA fighting, feeling very nostalgic. That time I sent you my first video from a Starbucks, and there wasn't a pandemic on. Those are the days. So listen, I want to cry a lot, but that probably won't be the most pleasant viewing. So let's talk Conor's GOAT thread this week and have the GOAT discussion. Let's make it a bit more fun, a bit less high pressure. Let's admit it's a subjective discussion. There is no mathematical, technical analysis that's completely objective here. There's always going to be your personal bias and filter. Like, Ariel was talking to DC earlier in the week, and he was saying, if we made the top five greatest fighters of all time list, very specifically, the fighter can never have been tainted by any drug allegation whatsoever, then he would have put GSP 1, DC 2, and it would have been a different list. So, like, let's let our freak flags fly. What are our personal preferences here? Pete Carroll, I ask you, sir, the dearly departing. Good luck in your future endeavors, Mr. Carroll. Mr. Young, chime in. Casey, please. But Pete, who are your top five? And I'd really like you to speak to each one of your top five very specifically. And catch you soon, bro.
Peace.
Legend.
Wow.
Legend. That was beautiful.
That was the best video question. One of the best video questions we ever had. Also, shout out to the Luke Thomas live chat shirt. He's been around for a hot minute. So shout out to that question. What was his name again? I apologize.
Jeffrey B.
I wrote it down and I lost my notebook. Shout out to Jeffrey B. No books in the video this week, but 10 out of 10 shirt, 10 out of 10 question. We didn't get to talk about it last week when it was the most prevalent. So, Pete, I'll start with you. Connor's GOAT list. He put Anderson Silva first. He put himself second, but he said there's an argument that he could be first, and it will is easy easily he could see himself being number one when it's all said and done. I believe he put, what, John and GSP were like 3-4. And who's fifth?
DJ, was DJ in the mix? Jones and DJ, and then I don't know.
No, he said
he said DJ wasn't didn't compete against enough quality opponents to be considered.
Someone asked DJ about him about DJ. He said loves Mighty Mouse. In terms of skill, he's one of the best, but he left during a rivalry that was 1-1 to jump to another promotion out that doesn't have the best fighters and is fighting second tier competition. But he gave Demetrius Johnson his credit. He just said he removed himself from the GOAT thread. And then someone brought up Habib and he said, fancy record, but he only beat me when I had like a broken foot or something like that. So he puts himself second, and then like GSP, John were 3-4. So GSP, the only thing knocking him was he only came back to fight a one-eyed fighter and vague and never like defended and stuff like that.
Didn't come back to defend after the controversial decision win.
Yes, correct. So, Pete C, what do you make of the? You could give your opinion on Connor's GOAT thread if you want, but what's your top five? I'll say top four. We'll do Mount Rushmore.
My number one is GSP.
Yeah.
I don't really look beyond that. I don't really ever do this top five madness. So everything's allowed here, right? This is if you know you've been pissed hot anything. Jones has to be next. I loved Anderson Silva. I love BJ Penn. I guess in hindsight their careers, BJ's career has been tarnished, unfortunately. Anderson's probably not so much, even though it seems like in this sport, you know, any other sport, we've talked about this before. Yeah. I was like, if this was baseball, he'd be struck from the record. But I gotta have Anderson then. I feel like I'm leaving out people. I know Esther and Casey and Jose are gonna kill me here and say names, and I'm like, oh, for God's sake. Do you have Nunes in then? You gotta, because you know, two-weight champion. I mean. Which
She's about to try to defend her featherweight championship too, so she can be the first one. Well, I think DC has defended both, but he wasn't heavyweight champion at the time when he defended against Vulcan, so she would be the first two-weight champ to defend both while reigning in both divisions simultaneously. If she beats,
I feel like you have to have two lists. One is like, so Connor doesn't make my list of top five just greatest fighters of all time, but he definitely makes my list of greatest prize fighters of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big difference to me. Like Ronda Rousey definitely makes my prize fighters list. And actually she might make my fighters list. I mean, my fighters list is maybe a troll job, but you were asking about who didn't. Jeffrey asked about who would still be on that list if they couldn't have also been tainted with drugs or failed any drug tests. And that actually takes out quite a few people. Mount Rushmore, that really just leaves GSP, Sakuraba, Rousey, and Fedor.
That's a great one.
That's a really good list.
That's a brilliant list.
I was trying to pick a people that I would actually want on there. Fedor, obviously, his view on women is a little problematic, or maybe very problematic. Habib, though. So, I mean, what are you going to do? If you're going for people who have never failed a drug test, that's actually a little bit difficult because almost everyone's kind of failed something here or there. So.
I do agree with what you are saying, though, about I find myself when I'm reading these threads by Connor, I'm looking at the people criticizing him. I'm like, no, you're wrong. Like, it's not as simple as he didn't defend titles. He's crap. No way. He's brilliant. Brought so many eyes to the sport. Absolutely electrifying. Electrifying. Like, I've never been as electrified as watching a Conor McGregor fight live in his prime. that Mendez fight, things like that. Diaz, unbelievable. But I also can't see him on the greatest fighters of all time. You know, I can't see him as like the GOAT either. But I do feel like it is a very nuanced thing with Conor, because he's done so many things for the sport. He's pushed the sport to a completely new level. He's transcended the sport. So I think for people to completely write him off as well, I think that's a great way of dividing up, actually. Greatest of all time and greatest prize fighter of all time. I mean,
if you're even prize fighting, like Chael Sonnen is like top four, like top
Brock two. Lesnar's in it.
Brock Lesnar, like these guys that brought, like Chael Sonnen changed the way we, like, single-handedly changed the way we sell fights. Now every single, like, the Colby Covingtons and the Ben Askrens are all, oh, he's just copying Chael Sonnen. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. Chael Sonnen took a lot from Muhammad Ali, you took a lot from Gorgeous George, but Chael Sonnen completely single-handedly changed the way we sell fights to, like, his last non, like, marquee fight I can remember was Nate Marquardt, and then since then, even then, Nate Marquardt, former Strikeforce champion, from then, he's basically only fought Hall of Famers from that point on. So Chael Sonnen might not have been the greatest fighter skill-wise, but he's top two. I'd say him, Conor, or like in terms of drawing interest in a fight and selling a fight. Brock Lesnar was just like, Brock Lesnar didn't have to say anything. You just looked at him and you wanted to see him fight. He's a different specimen altogether.
Well, that's a part of it. Him not speaking is part of it.
Yeah, it's like Fedor.
Mm-hmm. Does Fedor stand up in the greatest argument? Like, I can remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Move on.
Yeah, so many people say he doesn't. I think I loved Fedor. Like he was such a big part of me even getting into the sport. My brother used to have all these videos of him, Baz Root, and things like this. You know what I mean? And it meant so much to me to watch them back in the day. And of course, he's not the most sculpted man in the world. And then to see him fighting these Adonises and doing what he did, I thought it was incredible. And then when I kind of would be talking about these things with maybe fans who got into it, the sport through the UFC, they'd be like, oh, come on, man. It was all fixed out there. Oh, this and this. You know what I mean? I'm like, ah, breaking my balls here, guys. You know what I mean? Do you guys that happen? Yeah.
This is how I feel about it. Even he remained undefeated for 9 years.
At heavyweight.
Heavyweight division. And that's just very difficult to do no matter what. There are no heavyweights that remain undefeated for that long, that fight for that long. Because ultimately there's going to be a knockout at some point. There's going to be a moment when you even just slip on a banana peel and accidentally lose. That's just not something. His dominance was from we all kind of agree with this later, but that is the fact that he was a light heavyweight fighting at heavyweights. Not cutting weight made a very big deal for him. His speed really played an advantage. Well, it didn't play too much of an advantage when he fought people who were massively larger than him, but also fast, correct? So I would say the other problem is I have a hard time counting someone's career in this greatest of all time conversation once they've started to fall off, because it's not really fair. Some guys just don't know when to retire. Actually, most guys don't know when to retire. They can't all be triple C and know to get out when they're on top. That doesn't happen. Most people, like BJ, will go through this kind of like decline naturally as they continue to hold on to past glory.
Yeah. No, you're dead right.
I still have lots of my whole GOAT thing is, to me, you always have to just – I think the unquestionable GOAT is GSP, because he kind of fits all my criteria. Because so say you want to count Amanda Nunes or Conor McGregor. Well, basically, you're discounting Conor's early two losses outside of the UFC. And for Amanda Nunes, you're discounting her three losses when she got finished by Alexis Davis. She got finished by Kat Zingano. You're really, to me, you're counting her prime, you know, when she kind of hit that her last like maybe 4 or 5 years when she's just been completely dominant. But you're kind of discounting the early years. With GSP, from the first punch he threw for money to the last punch he threw for money, he was always the best, or at least one, two, or three of the best. And I just think that's just really incredible. And I really disagree with Connor's assessment that DJ shouldn't count because he's a small guy or whatever. I think that's ridiculous, because I think the smaller the weight classes, the better the athletes are. And I think those 45 guys and under, you get the best athletes in those sports, because anything higher than that, especially the 70s, 80s, why you don't get good, why we don't get lots of good heavyweights is because those guys are going to sports where we get real money. But say the little guys like DJ or even Jose Aldo talked about this. He was never big enough. Just his frame was never big enough to play professional soccer, professional football or whatever. And so I think what DJ does at those smaller weight classes is actually more impressive than big old heavyweights.
Interesting just what Esther was saying there about Henry. I kind of feel like we should be celebrating that way more. The fact that, like, you know, I know there's the whole thing, is he going to come back or whatever, but the fact that he is literally stepping away from the game at the very top, having achieved everything he pretty much set out to achieve, I think that should be so much more commended than it is. And not to say that I've been online jumping up and down saying, you're the man, Henry. I probably should be, but do you think we should be kind of celebrating this more than it is, or are we just reluctant because we think, hey, in a few months' time, he is going to be back?
I think there's a lot of questions. If this is a wrap for him, I think you have to throw him at least in your top 10 all time, and in two weight classes, considered, like, arguably, the greatest flyweight of all time. And then there were two people that people were arguing the greatest bantamweight is, TJ and Cruz, and he finished both of them. The only knock is he has that loss to Benavidez that he probably could have run back, but he just didn't. But that's his choice. Go ahead, Casey. I see you trying to say something.
Are we not counting Hinton Brown anymore because he destroyed his legacy after he lost? Because before, when Hinton Brown had his run, Hinton Brown doesn't exist anymore. I find it the weirdest thing. But I guess that goes into the legacy, right? And retiring when you're on top. I think it's done.
BJ is one of the greatest fighters ever in his prime, but he's tarnished his legacy, I feel, anyway.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it got to such a point that we're like, even it wasn't even the fights then. It was like, you know, street fights. Like, that was really, I was enamored by BJ Penn at the height of his career. I thought he was amazing. I used to nearly start weeping when he walked out to that amazing entrance song. Everything about him was like a superhero to me. And the fact that I think he even, like, the model that was with BJ, that the worship of him in Hawaii was very like the worship of Conor in Ireland. So I feel like that's something they kind of copped onto with BJ, that if you have a whole pretty much name behind you, it makes you so much more special. It makes you a symbol. It makes you bigger than just a fighter. And I think it's terrible that he's not in the argument anymore, but I can also understand why. I think, unfortunately, he has been tarnished.
Legacies don't pay mortgages, so
that's true.
Legacies don't pay your mortgage. True. Legacies don't pay that don't buy that new car. So, I don't, like, when people say they're happy that Cejudo's retiring on top. Like, well, if he has enough money, go for it. But otherwise, I mean, but that legacy might make him more money in pro wrestling, though, because he can come in there, you know, thinking though he's like
this. It will open a lot of avenues for him.
Yeah.
Like going out.
Yeah, I think if you're able to actually preserve it and keep it intact, you can perhaps leverage that into future endorsements and sponsorships that will last longer than the time of your career on top as a fighter. Unfortunately, as a fighter, you just can't stay out top that long without also incurring an ungodly amount of damage to your body.
I'm actually kind of thinking about you were talking about the wrestling there, kind of segueing it into like an MMA fighter going into wrestling. And there's a lot of talk about Colby Covington now. And I know Colby Covington's, he doesn't present himself as the greatest human being in the world, but I think he's certainly one of the best fighters, you know, at welterweight, like a very elite guy. Like, I mean, is this a bad look for the UFC that we're essentially letting Cejudo go because he can't get paid the right amount of money? And, you know, Colby, one of the best fighters, is trying to, it seems like he's trying to position himself into the wrestling world. Like, is this a bad look for the sport, you know, in 2020 when it's meant to be, you know, when it has this opportunity to be mainstream while it's going forward when everything else isn't? You know, it seems to me that's crazy that a decorated champion like Cejudo can just walk away. Like, they can't even have a conversation about money. That's wild to me.
The would have to change for the UFC in terms of how large their operation is versus so how the size of, say, a boxing promotion. Because boxing, well, so boxers make a ton more money because their share of that revenue that comes in for their events is a lot larger. Oops. So if you think about how it's compared to, like, Henry will never... He could make more with the UFC. And is it a black eye for the UFC for them letting him go basically because they couldn't pay him? Yes. Yes, it is, because they're going to continue to lose athletes this way. But does it matter in the long run? That remains to be said. We don't know if people as fans are more attached to the individual fighters or if they're more attached to the UFC as a promotion.
Hmm. Hey, Esther, how's Fezzik doing behind you?
She's very sleepy.
Ah, God. Ooh, look at the two of them. Ah, God. That was some fight they had the other day. It's good to see they're getting back to normal. Well.
Wow. Oh, right, right. What weight class? Who's heavier?
Fezzik is heavier.
Okay.
She's coming in.
By about.
She's coming in. What is she coming in now? What's her walking weight?
It's like her. She's about 32 pounds.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Rubella is only like 20 pounds. So
Reggie is what?
It's like 17 pounds or something. Yeah. Oh, he's man. Like, no, I think he's 7 kilos actually. So he's, yeah, no, he's about, yeah, I think he's.
Thank you for the question.
That was a great question. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Smaller weight classes don't sell for the UFC. That's pretty much what I heard.
Let me see.
It's true in general.
Oh, I got it. From the user comments.
From Maria Gronin, UFC has copyrights to UFC, like UFSEA. Will this be the name of Fight Island? I don't know if that'll be the name, but I can almost guarantee you that'll be the hashtag.
That'll be the t-shirt, all right.
I don't think that it'll be the name of Island. I think they just did it so that no one else could take that copyright in trademark. Because after it was suggested, there's likelihood that someone would go out and try to trademark it. So the UFC being, you know, pretty hawkish business folk.
How dare you?
And get that copyrighted. It's too bad that Last Week Tonight didn't get that trademark first, because then the UFC would owe them money. But yeah, no. I don't think it's actually going to be used. Maybe for a barge pie. That would be great.
I think it'll be a t-shirt and the hashtag, but I don't think that's going to be the official name of the fight. I think it'll be like UFC Fight Island 1, UFC Fight Island 2, whatever you want to call it.
The first event is going to be called Brahamas. We know that.
It's going to be called what?
Fight at the Brahamas. And that's Asai. Thanks for watching. We out.
What do you guys think it would look like? You're the creative people here. What do you imagine it looks different? Like the event, there will be, if it's Fight Island, will there be like sea in the background? Will it be like, will it just be another event? Like, what's like, how are they going to convey Fight Island to the watching world? You know, if that they've made such a big deal, it feels like if it was just in the same room as the rest of the things, people are like, meh.
Yeah, you know, normally the UFC, when they go to other territories, they have a tendency just to repeat and build the exact same show, so that you would actually, without that external, you know, aerial shot that they do at the beginning of the broadcast, you would not know what fight is. Yeah. But for this one, I would hope that they change that up. And I hope that they actually kind of remind, like, they maybe build it out more like the very first Abu Dhabi show, where it was like an outdoor arena and had like a kind of a sheer covering over the octagon to protect the lighting grid. Just do it like that, I think, because, well, honestly, I mean, I've shot a lot of outdoor boxing, and there's nothing better than the photos you get from something daylit. Action is so crisp and sharp and just immediate. It really honestly is one of the best experiences. And I would love to see them actually highlight the location of their fights. And I think they might, because, I mean, if you're going to spend a bunch of money on buying an island for this whole thing, you really should show it off.
Yeah, yeah. That's the talk is, I see Twitter abuzz with the talk that it's Yaz Island. Do you guys think that would suit if they were to use that? Because, I mean, we were out there, as I said earlier, August, was it last year, for the Khabib and Poirier fight?
That's not really an island. It's just kind of a, I mean... Then it's just in Abu Dhabi. It's just, that's all. It's just Abu Dhabi. They're just having fights in Abu Dhabi. That's all that's happening.
It was so hot.
It really was. And they didn't have a facility. So what the hell is... I mean, I guess they don't need the crowd, right?
I don't know what the regulations are in the UAE. So if the UAE is going to just allow it...
I mean, it would be easy to keep people quarantined in the sense that, like... There's a lot of resorts there that are all inclusive, so they could kind of push everyone into a place that one street on Yaz Island where like all the hotels are. I mean, yeah. Could pretty much just keep everyone in that one area, but I don't know. It's not really an island. It's like a. It's not really an island.
Yeah,
I don't even know what it looks like.
It's just hot.
Like geographically.
I have absolutely no idea. I don't even know where it's going to be. So I can't even fathom what it's going to look like without even geographically knowing where it is, because I would want a theme. So if it's, I got to know where it is before I pick my theme.
I just think everyone's impression of what Fight Island is going to be is completely wrong, because their impression is going to be outside during the daytime and there's going to be some mermaids and a beach and a couple of dolphins jumping over the cage. It's just not gonna happen. It's just.
Oh my God, dolphins!
That'd be amazing. That's what I want.
That was so good.
Instead of buffer, a dolphin, you know, and just squeeze.
The highlight of my
The
highlight of my week in Jacksonville, outside of Tony versus Justin, was seeing dolphins outside my windows in the harbor. That was for sure mine. Oscar Willis messages me. He goes, "There's sharks outside." And I look, and it's just dolphins. I'm just like, British people are crazy.
Those are dolphins, Oscar.
look at those cute sharks.
To be fair, you could only see them emerge with their fins, and they go right back down. So if you've never seen a dolphin before, and you just see like that fin pop up, I'm sure you're gonna freak out. But I was like, that is obviously a dolphin fin. Anyway.
Well, sharks are cute too. They're misunderstood. They can be.
They're also terrifying and the worst creatures in the world.
They're wonderful.
Yeah. No, I hate everything about them.
If they're so horrible, why do they have a whole week dedicated to them?
I don't know.
There's no Jose week. There's no dolphin week. There's no pizza week. I'm not a
swimming dinosaur that wants to eat every living creature in the world. Like, they are the worst thing.
That's why they're so awesome.
Why don't you try it out, man?
All right.
Don't knock
it. Give me some tips, Casey. You can't swim. Next question.
I wish there was a PT week. That'd be awesome.
It's PT week. All right, let's get some.
Moral of the story is sharks are terrible and sharks should not have their own week. Next question. With Masvidal apparently, quote, in camp, and Usman and McGregor really being discussed at the moment, who is he fighting? My prediction, Diaz rematch. God. Well, if he's going to take a fight, I only want to see Jorge Masvidal fight. I'll see him fight any of those three. If he wants to make the most money, it'd probably be Connor. If he wants the belt, it obviously would have to be Kamaru. And then the Diaz would be the third one, because what other fight would he want to even entertain out of those three that would make him any sort of money? So, PT, I'll start with you. What do you think? What's next for Jorge Masvidal, the BMF champion, if you would?
I just wonder what happened with the Usman negotiation, because it never seemed to get off the ground. How far off were they from that, like, because it seemed what was definitely going to happen. Dana told us it was definitely going to happen. How many times in January? Like, I mean, I wonder what happened there. It doesn't make any sense. I think McGregor's not going to happen. There would have been way more talk of that if they were going to make that fight, I think. I think he's just posturing for that Diaz thing to get whatever he wants from the Usman fight. Usman and McGregor makes no sense, really. Like, I mean, it doesn't really... The only thing that makes sense in terms of is McGregor's previous prophecies from when he was like 2014 or 2015 about being a three-time champion, and him having that ability to get anything that he wants basically out of the UFC. But I don't think it's a great fight for him, to be honest. The size of Usman is unbelievable. What's next for Masvidal? I still think it might be Usman. I still think it might be Usman.
Jorge did say, let's run it back. I hope you've got a new ab routine and this and that, all aimed at Nate Diaz. But I doubt Dana wants to make that fight. Dana didn't want to make that fight the second it happened. I mean, do you remember our coffee talk after UFC 244? Casey and I were like, rematch. We want the rematch. We were like, there are questions out there. And then Dana was like, nah, no rematch. That cut was deep. And we were like, oh, okay, I guess that's the end of that. So move on. I want the rematch, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Nate Diaz never gets his rematches unless it's Connor. And then even then, he lost the second one. He never got the third one.
Or Gray Maynard. That's all he gets. He just gets Gray Maynard.
Just keep fighting Gray Maynard.
That's what Nate Diaz. We didn't get a question for Nate Diaz, but Nate Diaz versus Gray Maynard, because that's obviously right, what's happening.
If McGregor fights on Fight Island, who does he fight?
Hopefully, like, I want to see him fight Tony, but I don't think Tony should fight for the rest of the year.
I don't think it'll be that, because there's that history there with Paradigm as well and stuff. I just don't think they're going to do that. If Conor doesn't see value in you to take from you, he doesn't want to fight you, you know. And Tony's value, unfortunately, as far as Conor's concerned, went when he lost to Justin Gaethje. So it's just, I kind of feel like it's a huge leap to go from the Cerrone to Gaethje after what Gaethje just did. So I'm kind of like, would they do Diaz? Would they do the trilogy fight? Could they possibly do that, you know, if he was willing to travel and stuff? Like, I'm very confused.
I can't read it. What does that comment say?
Suzanne from YouTube says, PT is smiling, but his eyes look so sad.
That's just PC's face.
Oh,
the lip quiver.
I think we always have my eyes sad.
Let me see.
What if that's just the way you look?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, PC's not sad. That's just Ireland.
It took everyone a long time to get used to how I look, and now they're like, whoa, his eyes have different emotions than his face. I mean, his mouth, it's hard.
That's the sadness of Ireland in his eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of sadness. It's
centuries of oppression, bad weather, and starchy potatoes will do that to you.
Nothing wrong with the potatoes. Hey, we've mastered the potatoes. Hey.
I like potatoes just as much as the next guy. Well, maybe not Casey, because that's the only thing that he eats outside of his pasty soil.
I can't wait to eat potatoes. It's going to happen someday, guys.
We have potatoes.
Some days we'll all be back together.
Have we had like, how many potatoes? How many potatoes have we had together, PT? Like,
oh,
this is
17, I'd say.
Yeah. Hey, Casey, are potatoes better than sharks? Sharks have their own week. Potatoes don't have their own week.
Dude, it's potato mud. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Is there a whole week dedicated to it on television? Yeah. Probably not.
Dude, look, I'm looking on Twitter.
The
UFC just announced International Potato Week.
Okay. Casey's no longer the cameraman. MMA fighting is going to work on his lifelong project of making a documentary on Soylent and potatoes. Next question.
You should actually check out fighter Will Fleury, a Bellator middleweight, and he has a hashtag called Spud Life. He's in Ireland, and he makes lots of meals after his workouts with Spuds. It's a beautiful thing. What a quality Irishman. Well done, Will.
Good shout out. Two-part questions from Buentello O'Burner. Don't fear me on Twitter. Two-part question. Who has the best chance at slowing down Francis Ngannou, and how fast do you figure Paul – well, it's all pixelated. I can't even read
Paul
this.
Paul Buentello.
All right, PC. Answer both questions if you so choose.
Paul Buentello.
Yeah, man, that's a blast from the past right there. who's the best chance of slowing down Francis? Stipe, obviously.
He did it once already.
And Buentello, I don't think the heavyweight division is ready for him to reemerge. I think Francis would be very worried if Paul showed up out of the blue. Definitely.
Is Francis? Does he fear the consequences? This isn't for you, Connor noobs out here. You go on Fight Pass and look that up.
Yeah, Bondella was a quality shout there. Jesus Christ. Did he have one of those big back advertisements the last time he fought in the UFC, or is that just my imagination?
Like goldenpalace.com, one of those or something, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I think he might have been one of the only guys to have one in the UFC, because there wasn't a lot, but obviously it's really still chic in KSW having the old body advertisement.
Was Paul Montuelo the one that tapped out to strikes against Overeem? Like, he got kneed in the gut and tapped out from getting kicked really hard?
That was Brock Lesnar.
No, yeah. Definitely not. It was definitely a Strike Force. It was definitely a Strike Force fight.
You're right. It might have been a Strike Force. I was like, they never fought in the UFC.
It was definitely a Strike Force fight. I think he was like Overeem fought a former heavyweight like fighter, Paul Montuelo, and then he gets like destroyed by getting kicked in the gut, and then he taps out to it. I feel like that's the right guy, but somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
Overeem is some highlight reel, isn't he? Holy shit.
Yeah, you're telling me. I can't Good read question. This.
Why don't UFC fighters walk with their belts like
I'll
they do
in boxing? I'll tell you why. Because they just don't want to. We asked this question to Faber and Andre Feely, and they were like, it's kind of corny. Also, Shogun walked out with his belt once, and John Jones looked at it and was like, I'm going to destroy this man and take that belt. So there you go.
when SBG...
Well, they also don't get to walk out with a huge entourage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't get like a bunch of people. Because the fighters themselves, the boxers themselves, don't carry the belts anyway, necessarily. It's like you got like 10 people behind you, each one carrying belts.
I want to be one of those people.
Just carry a belt. Who carried Connor's UFC belts? So Connor had both belts out when he walked out against Floyd.
I'd say, well, Kavanaugh used to do this thing at Cage Warriors because SBG pretty much dominated Cage Contender in Ireland. It was a groundbreaking promotion at the time. It was brilliant. It was amazing. And he used to kind of walk out before the fighter with the belt. And they kind of follow him behind and they'd make their ring walk. I thought that was a good way to do it. Like the coach is coming out with the belt at the start and then the fighter is able to do whatever he wants with his walkout. I thought that was pretty badass.
What I want to know is how come Fedor doesn't walk out with his WAMA championships anymore?
It's a good question.
Next, you know, I wonder actually,
where is it?
The reason that the UFC fighters don't walk out with their belts is that I gotta say the WC belt is just very fancy looking. And also the kind of the thing about boxing is a lot of those guys have multiple belts in different organizations. So to be able to walk out holding like four different belts is really different from just holding four of the same.
Just a bunch of old belts. And now like I thought you would get in like Henry could walk out with two. That's the most. Like, yeah, I agree. You see the green belt, and then you see like the red, white, and blue with the gold. I can't remember which ones are which. And then you see like the money
that
belt.
It's the burgundy
and all
this. One. Yeah.
It's the burgundy.
The Mayan belt.
It would be phenomenal.
MMA fans don't realize that MMA promoters are a little cheap, but boxing promoters, every time you win a title defense, you get another belt. So. That's why, remember DJ, when DJ finally got that photo of nine belts. So, but the UFC, they don't give you a belt. They give you a ruby now. So.
They used to give you belts. And that's why the DJ took that photo, right?
Yeah.
With all his belts?
Yeah. But
Yeah. That was sick.
That is so upsetting that, like, this new belt is just basically to save a few quid. Like,
I don't know, man. I kind of like rubies. It's kind of fun.
Ooh. I don't. I want all the fucking belts.
Not way. Get rings. I like Max
Holloway.
You
want the fighters walk out with just a bag full of jewels? Like, I'm the champ.
Yeah. Come, are you kidding me? You're kidding. You wouldn't want to see a fighter walk out like, come try to take my jewels, man. Like, come on, Casey.
Yeah.
What kind of question is
I guess,
that?
Course, I can see that. Like,
I'm fighting.
You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe like
I'm fighting for a bag of rubies.
Rubies. I still want to see them fight for a literal bag of money.
That's what I'm saying. Like. Forget your belt. Forget all your belts. If someone puts a bag of jewels above the octagon, whoever wins gets literally a bag of jewels. Sign me up. 10 out of 10.
That's amazing. That is a great idea.
On now, Indiana Jones style, like win it. Like you gotta go through obstacles to get the rubies.
And you have to rip your opponent's chest open and pull the heart out. Doing Indiana Jones, right?
Is that? I don't think you rip the heart out. I think you got it carved out and then you got to eat. So you'd have to eat the heart too.
Oh, you're sick, man. You're just.
Yeah, go back to Shark Week.
It's potato month.
Potato month, baby.
All right. We how got many one, varieties? You know, we have one more video question, but we kind of answered it already, but he submitted it, so I want to make sure he gets a chance to be on the show. Hold on one moment.
It's Pete's last episode. We can go longer. Absolutely.
Wait, which one did I already ask? I forgot.
Oh. You did Jeffrey.
Oh, here it is.
And Andy.
You gotta switch the audio for inputs.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
I'm just gonna leave.
What's going on, A-Side? It's Mike JB. So I think Fight Island is really just a front for the new Fighter House, for the Ultimate Fighter reboot, if there is ever one. Curious what you guys think about that. Anyways, that'll be all for me. Shout out to all of MMA Fighting, Esther, Casey, Jose Young Hair. Another special shout out to Pete Carroll. Best of luck in all legend. You do, brother. And
thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
Legend. What a fucking hero.
Mike JB is always on the scene for every single UFC fight week. So if you're an MMA fan and you're standing outside the arena or at weigh-ins, there's a 10 chance you'll see Mike JB at least walking around saying hi to everyone. So that is a dedicated UFC super fan if I've ever seen one.
Savage. So he thinks this is a front for Tough, the Fight Island.
I had never even thought or heard of that.
Well, I know, like, look, Jiří Procházka, Molly McCann, all these European fighters are putting up emojis and social media posts that suggest that they are on the way to wherever or whatever Fight Island is. So I think it's definitely not a front for Tough, but I'm very interested to hear more about this conspiracy, to be quite honest. I would love to hear how you put that together. I love a bit of that. Look into it.
I'm
actually really just curious about the logistics of the whole Fight Island thing, just because you got to think about there's got to be a medical facility. There's got to be a way to get there. So either a port or a small landing strip. And you have to not only house all the fighters and their corners and their training partners and all the UFC staff, but also all the camera people. So there's a lot going on. I'm so curious. When are they going to tell us?
Well, when I was in Jacksonville, they said in 2 or 3 weeks, and it is just about 2 weeks. So hopefully we get something soon. But Dan also said a lot of things about a lot of nothing. So who knows?
How dare you, Jose?
Casey, we can't hear you.
Oh, we can't?
Oh, now we can.
No, we can. He was just saying that because we didn't want to hear you. We can't hear you.
No, I'm just not.
He's messing with us. I know he is.
No, I can't hear you, Pete. I think you're muted.
Am I?
No, you're not.
No. Come on. As soon as he said that, I was like, Casey's lying.
Well played.
I just like the idea that the whole coronavirus, COVID-19, was created in a Zufa lab just so we can get Tough back on the air again. The long game.
That is actually something I had not thought about.
Mike JB, send us the thesis on how this happened. I will love that. Yeah. I would read the shit out of that.
Trump, Tough ends, coronavirus emerges, conspiracies abound.
Yeah. Okay. Look, it's not the China flu, it's the Zufa flu. I'm just joking.
Well,
this
might have helped Dana fulfill his dream of owning an island, so.
Okay.
Yeah, have you guys heard anywhere else it could be, or are you just hearing Yaz? Have you heard any other people talking?
I've heard it could be off the coast of Florida. It could be Costa Rica. It could be somewhere off the coast of Europe. It could be off the coast of I don't know where. I have literally no idea.
I haven't heard any locations at all except for off the coast of Florida and Costa Rica. So, yeah. No,
I would love it. I would love it to be in Costa Rica. Costa Rica is a beautiful place. They get screwed over a lot by their government and the buildings. Like they got that new arena that was there's a lot of weird stories going on with that crazy, that giant stadium they built that they basically don't even have the rights to in their own country. So I would love it if it'd be in Costa Rica, but it would probably be a lot of red tape to get through that too. I don't know.
Costa Rica is not even an island.
No, but I think it would be off the coast of Costa Rica. It would
be an island off the coast of.
I still maintain
this is going to happen on the Lighthouse.
That it would happen where?
Fight Island, too.
Say it again.
Fight Island is actually the Lighthouse Island. It's going to be that. It's going to be some like sad island off the coast of Scotland where there's just rocks
and a couple of dead birds. Death. Yeah.
Imagine the amount of freelance gigs I could be looking at if that was the case, huh? Come on, Europe.
Europe.
We can pull it off.
So, here's our last question. It's a video question. Hold on one moment. Boop, 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 boop.
What's going on, A-side? It's my JB. So I think Fight Island is really...
No. It's a different question. He just hasn't...
It's coming.
I was like, hang on a second. Where's it going to go this time?
Here we go.
Which way did he go?
Can you hear me? Everyone hear me? All right, here we go.
Now we're just stuck.
Nigeria's answer to Manny Pacquiao. And I really believe that he could do that. You know, he is that kind of captivating. He's that creative. He's a very handsome gentleman too. And that's important. That's important.
Listen, you got to mock yourself.
How do you think I got so far in this career? Laugh.
Yay.
Aww.
Look at me little hand. Oh, that was great. I was shitting myself before that. Oh my god. Oh wow.
Aww.
Oh my eye.
He's doing makeup.
Oh, the music. Louise in Abu Dhabi, yeah. Sweating bucket there. Oh, chilling out. Permanent Melbourne. Oh my god. Oh, yes, yes! The greatest buffet ever.
Just tools.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Yes. Oh no, it's good. Oh, good. I love that vibe.
Hey, it's Emily Binding. We're at the workouts. I have a cat face. This is...
See you, Peter Gomes. Look inside my luggage.
For those of you just listening, because I know we get a lot of listeners, go watch Casey's montage of Petey's time at MMA Fighting. It was a lot of fun. I think that fight week, UFC 246 fight week, was the most fun I've ever had covering an event in my entire life. That was a lot of fun.
That warmed the cockles of me heart. That did. Oh, that was beautiful. So many good memories there. My God, I even forgot about some of them pictures. Like when we were going for food every night in Melbourne, walking up that road, looking for grub. We got fish and chips that night, didn't we? I believe.
Yeah,
we did.
Yes, we did. Potatoes, very essential. That was beautiful. Oh man, I can't believe that. That's brilliant, man. Thanks so much, Casey. That was beautiful, and some fantastic pictures there, Esther. I love that one of us in Vegas. That was so funny when you just think about back on that. Everyone queuing up to take their picture with the with the fabulous Las Vegas sign. I was saying off to the side of it. Amazing. I'll never forget any of that. I promise you. It will be this whole thing with MMA fighting, it's the best moment of my career without a doubt. Never forget it. And from what I was when I came in the door to what I am now, it's massively, massively different. You know, you gave me a brilliant platform, and I really appreciate it, guys. I love yous all. I really love yous all. So it's been nothing but a pleasure. Oh my God, it was beautiful.
Love you too, Petey. Oh my God, don't let me cry.
We're all gonna cry after. But before we go, Petey, remind everyone who the most flexible man in the world is.
Oh Jesus! I hope I can do this, because I actually went for a run this morning. All right, here we go.
The final time in A-side history.
Can he do it?
The final time. Yay!
Oh, yes.
He's done it. Oh, I nearly pissed myself. I nearly got a bit of water.
How do that in jeans?
Oh my God.
And with that, the salt lamp is off. I am Jose. That is Esther. That is Casey. I hope we're pixelated enough so you can't see us crying. That is Mr. Scissors, Casey Carroll, for the final time. We will not be back Friday because we have weigh-ins again because it's fight week. But for Esther, Casey, Jose, for the final time, Petey, we're out.
Alobius. I genuinely nearly pissed when I did that there.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.